The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the devil was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Every once in a while, I'll be lying in bed or laying on the couch, watching a particular program. And then all of a sudden, I'll hear this. Feel my blood pumping. My heart starts to race. And then I'm ready. I'm motivated. I love Rocky movies. If you have never seen a Rocky movie, well, there's plenty of them for you to watch, so you don't know what you're missing. But they're all the same. It starts out with, you know, you sort of get an insight into Rocky's current life. And then the rug gets pulled out from under him. You know, a friend dies, or his wife unexpectedly goes into labor, or something crazy happens, and then he hits rock bottom. He feels like a failure. He feels like he can't succeed. And then something comes into his life. Someone says the right thing and it motivates him. And then you hear that song. And Rocky starts hitting the weights and running and running. And people start following him. He goes up the stairs at the library in Philadelphia. It's just amazing. And every time I see it, I just want to, you know, when I was a kid, it just made me want to go out and get bigger. And now it just makes me want to go out and get smaller. And you know, but it's not just that. I mean, it just makes me want to get up and accomplish something, you know? I mean, movies tend to have that effect on me. They motivate me and want to send me out to just do what it is that I'm supposed to do, to be the best person that I can actually be, accomplish something that I've always dreamed of accomplishing. And that's what motivation does, right? I mean, what motivates you? Maybe you're like me and movies really get your blood pumping, or maybe some books. Oh man, I've read some books that have really, you know, they've taught me something new and I just want to go out and try it and be the best I can be. Maybe it's other people, you know, you see how somebody has accomplished something, or maybe it is that they're supporting you, or they show their love, or maybe it's just a kick in the rear end that motivates you to get you moving. What is it that drives you through life? Because you see, that motivation is your why. It's why you do what you do. Everything we say, everything we do, every decision we make is based on a why. It's based on a motivation. And so if you're motivated to lose weight because you want to look better, well, then that's going to be what your driving force, right? Or if you want to be the richest person on earth, well, that's going to wake you up in the morning and it's going to send you out and you're going to learn how to save money. And then you're going to go to school and learn everything that you can or get trained for the career that you want. Then you're going to go and you're going to work harder than anybody else. And you're going to save and you're going to learn all about investments. And you're going to invest your money wisely. And sooner or later, that motivation is going to pay off and maybe you will be the richest person in the world. It's all about that why. Why do you do the things you do? Well, because I want to be the richest person in the world. Well, because I want to look great. Because I want to be successful. Because I want to be famous. Because I want to be the best parent, the best teacher, the best friend I can possibly be. I mean, what brought you here today? What was your motivation for being in this place at this time? See, my friends, motivation is a powerful force. Like I said, it is our ultimate why. It's why we do what we do. And so today in our gospel reading, one that's pretty familiar because we read it on the first Sunday in Lent every single year. We just read it from a different book of the Bible, but it's always the temptation of Jesus. And the story is the same in all four gospels. And it goes like this. Jesus has just been baptized and he's taken out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so while he's out there, he's fasting 40 days and 40 nights, which is Bible speak for a really, really long time. And so, of course, he's famished. I don't know about you. I can't go about 3 hours without being hungry. Jesus has been 40 days and 40 nights. And so the devil comes to him and says, hey, I know you're hungry, Jesus. You got this power to turn these stones into bread. Why don't you do that? No reason you shouldn't. Just go ahead and eat. Jesus says, no. Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that one didn't work. And so the devil takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, hey, Jesus, you know what would be cool? You ever go bungee jumping, skydiving, anything? How about you jump off of here? Because the Bible says that angels will make sure that you don't dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, the Bible also says you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then one final temptation, the devil takes Jesus up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, all this can be yours if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, away with you, Satan. For the Bible says, worship God and only him. Now see, motivation is a powerful factor. And that's exactly what leads us to success or to failure. Because temptation thrives on what motivates us. For instance, if Jesus had been motivated by instant gratification, if Jesus had been motivated by his stomach, he would have taken that bread. If Jesus had been motivated by the desire to have fame as he stood on the top of the temple. Do you know who else is at the temple? Everybody in town. If he'd have taken a nosedive off the top of the temple and angels had scooped him up, everybody would have seen it. He'd have been famous. Everybody had known exactly who he was right at that moment. If Jesus was motivated by fame, he'd have done it. And then he's taken up a high mountain. All the kingdoms in the world. If Jesus' motivation was power to own everything, then sure, he would have dropped to his knees and done exactly what the devil wanted him to do. See, that is the power of motivation, right? Because at the end, the biggest temptation of all was for Jesus to take the easy way out. If he'd have taken any one of those temptations, his life would have been a lot simpler, wouldn't it? He wouldn't have had to go through all he endured. He wouldn't have had to be rejected. He wouldn't have had to be arrested, mocked, beaten, and killed. None of that would have happened because he'd have had all the power. Everybody would have known who he was, right? But Jesus wasn't motivated by any of those things. That's the power of motivation. It can drive us to succeed, and it can drive us right into a ditch. I mean, think of it this way. If you want to lose weight, and you do it so that you'll look better, here's the problem with that. Trust me, I know. I don't have a mirror looking at me every time I see a piece of cake. I wish they would make mirror-shaped cakes. That would be great. But they don't. So if my motivation is to look better, unfortunately, I'm not looking at myself all the time. And so I fail. If my motivation in life is to be the richest person in the world. You may succeed at that, but you better believe you're probably going to be miserly You're going to be miserable. You're going to be alone. You might break some laws to get ahead. You might do anything that it takes just to succeed. But you see, that's where motivation can turn us the wrong path. But Jesus wasn't motivated by power, by taking the easy way, by fame. Jesus was motivated by you. That's why he came to this world. Jesus was motivated by you because he loves you, because he came to save you, because he came so that you can have eternal life. No matter how fallen and broken and sinful we are, that's exactly why Jesus came. And he was going to stop at nothing to save each and every one of us. Jesus Christ's motivation was me and you. So imagine what would change in our lives if he became our motivation. If he became the answer to our why. Well, if I wanted to lose weight because God may need me in better shape to do something, that might look a little different the next time I see a piece of cake. If God wanted me to have money so that I could be generous with it, if I look at everything that I do for myself, instead I look for what I can do for Jesus, that's going to paint a different picture of everything that we say and do. If Jesus Christ is our motivating factor in life, everything that happens, everything that we do will be different. Because when we align our motivations with him, we live our life for him. Imagine what that could look like, my friends. How would your life be different right now if your motivation was Jesus? I mean, think about it. Why did you get up and come to church this morning? Some of you were motivated by, well, fear of a spouse or a parent. That's a good one. Or fear of the voice of your mother that still rings out in your head telling you you better go to church that day. Some of you were driven here by obligation. Some of you were motivated by habit because that's just what you do Sunday after Sunday. Some of you were motivated by the hope of entertainment. Some of you wanted to see your friends and family. But what if you were motivated to come here because of love for Christ? You know what that makes different? It doesn't matter how good or bad the music is that day. Doesn't matter how good or bad the sermon is. Doesn't even matter who the pastor is that day. Doesn't matter what the church is doing. Doesn't matter how things look. Doesn't matter if things go your way. If your motivation to come on Sunday morning is love for Christ, it makes it look different, doesn't it? Now take that out into the rest of your life. What if when you leave for work tomorrow morning, you say, you know what? Today, the reason I'm going to do the best that I can, the reason that I'm going to treat people with love and respect, the reason that I'm going to have patience is because Jesus loves me and I love him back. What will that do to your life? What will that do to your job? What will that do to your marriage, to your family? What will that do to the way you treat the people on the street? What will that do to the way you drive your car? You may not cut people off, and when they cut you off, you may just wave with five fingers. When your motivation, when your ultimate is to say thank you to Jesus Christ, it changes everything. So tell me, my friends, what's your motivation? Amen.